This week, a Chinese company announced its goal to launch cargo into orbit for less than 20,000 RMB per kilogram. For perspective, that's under $3,000. How does that price point change the strategic calculus for every high-tech manufacturer in the West? Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
Troy, the theme this week feels like a tipping point. For years, we've talked about the space economy in abstract terms, but the news from August 2026 suggests the theoretical is becoming very, very practical. We're seeing a convergence of dramatically lower launch costs, a U.S. policy mandate for 1,000 launches a year, and tangible progress in orbital manufacturing.
That's right. The conversation is shifting from exploration to industrialization. This week, we'll focus on three critical developments. First, the geopolitical launch race that's crushing costs. Second, the concrete business case for manufacturing semiconductors in orbit. And third, the radical new hardware, from processors to power systems, that makes it all possible.
Let's start with that launch cost. I saw a major milestone out of China. What happened?
On August 19th, the Chinese commercial firm Landspace successfully recovered the first stage booster of its JUKE-3 rocket. This is significant because it uses a stainless steel design, and they are targeting a payload cost below 20,000 RMB per kilogram. This makes China the only nation to master two different technical pathways for booster recovery, putting Landspace in direct competition with SpaceX.
What does a cheaper, reusable Chinese rocket mean for U.S. and European manufacturers?
For Western launch providers like Rocket Lab or Arianespace, it's a massive competitive threat that will further drive down prices. But for manufacturers, it's a gateway. It signals that the logistics costs for getting raw materials to an orbital factory and finished goods back to Earth are plummeting. The business case for in-space manufacturing, or ISM, just became dramatically more compelling.
And how is the U.S. government responding to this acceleration?
The White House just signed a new National Space Transportation Policy on August 20th. The goal is to support over 1,000 annual space launches and reentries by 2030. The policy explicitly directs NASA to enable commercial transport and states that these new capabilities will drive the development of high-value materials and pharmaceuticals in space.
So, what's the actionable insight here?
Executives can no longer dismiss orbital logistics as science fiction. You need to begin modeling the impact of radically lower transportation costs on your highest value supply chains. The barrier to entry for manufacturing in low Earth orbit is evaporating.
Okay, so it's getting cheaper to go to space. Let's talk about why you'd build a factory there. I'm hearing a lot about semiconductors. Why make a chip in microgravity?
Because you can create a product that is physically impossible to make on Earth. In microgravity, you eliminate gravity-induced convection and sedimentation during crystal growth. This results in semiconductor crystals with near-perfect uniformity and far fewer defects. We're not talking about an incremental improvement. It's a step change in performance for things like ultra-efficient power electronics, quantum computing components, and specialized sensors.
This sounds like a strategic play to leapfrog terrestrial manufacturing.
It is. A new report is advocating for the U.S. to pursue a dual approach. Bolster domestic production via the CHIPS and Science Act while simultaneously advancing space-based manufacturing to secure the next generation of technological dominance. There's even debate about extending the 48D tax credit to orbital production facilities.
Are U.S. and European companies already moving on this?
Absolutely. This week, the ISS National Lab selected 8 startups for its Orbital Edge Accelerator. One of them, AstroLu, is developing extreme ultraviolet photomasks in microgravity, which are critical for next-gen chipmaking. Separately, the UK Space Forge just signed a deal with the Texas A&M University System to establish terrestrial R&D as a direct preparatory step for moving their semiconductor manufacturing to orbit.
What should our listeners in the tech supply chain be doing now?
Western trading companies and distributors need to identify and track these space-focused material science startups. They will be the source of tomorrow's premium components. For manufacturers, it's time to identify your most performance-critical products that are limited by material purity. Begin conversations with these emerging players to understand the potential for a new, ultra-high performance tier in your market.
Troy, building and running these orbital factories must require incredibly specialized hardware. It's not like you can use standard off-the-shelf components in the radiation of space.
Precisely. And that enabling technology is maturing rapidly.
On August 19th, EPC Space announced a new line of radiation-hardened gallium nitride power transistors. They are rated to withstand over 1 megarad of total ionizing dose.
Translate that for us. What does a rad-hard transistor mean for business?
It means the power systems for these new satellites and orbital platforms can be smaller, lighter, more efficient, and operate reliably for years. This is the backbone technology needed to run the high-performance computing for autonomous robotics and process control in a space-based factory. You can't have a system fail from a solar flare.
You mentioned high-performance computing. What's happening on the processor side?
NASA's new high-performance spaceflight computing processor, the HPSC, just demonstrated a 500-fold increase in processing speed over current space-grade chips in tests at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory. This leap allows a spacecraft or orbital system to run complex AI algorithms on board, making autonomous, real-time decisions without waiting for instructions from Earth.
That's a huge jump. I also saw a wild article about moving AI data centers into orbit. Is that connected?
It's the logical conclusion. A typical terrestrial AI data center can consume the power of 100,000 homes, mostly for cooling. In orbit, as described in Space Daily on August 17th, you get uninterrupted solar power and you can radiate waste heat into the vacuum of space for free. Google is already planning a 2-satellite test mission for its Project Suncatcher concept in early 2027.
So what's the actionable takeaway on these enabling technologies?
For U.S. and European tech manufacturers, this creates a high-margin market for extremely reliable radiation-hardened components. For any company leveraging large-scale AI, you must start monitoring the development of orbital data centers. This could fundamentally alter the cost structure and sustainability of artificial intelligence infrastructure within the next 5 to 7 years.
All right, Troy, it's been a dense week. Let's distill this into a strategic summary. What are the 3 key takeaways for executives in the U.S. and Europe?
First, launch costs are collapsing, and it's being accelerated by credible international competition from companies like China's Landspace. The economic barrier to operating in space is becoming a historical footnote, not a future obstacle.
Second,
in-space manufacturing, especially for semiconductors, is shifting from R&D to commercial strategy. Companies like the UK Spaceforge are building the ground-to-space pipeline right now. This is about creating a new, ultra-premium tier of materials that are physically impossible to produce on Earth.
And the third takeaway?
A new ecosystem of enabling hardware is here. From 1 megarad power transistors to processors that are 500 times faster, the foundational technologies required to build and operate an industrial economy in orbit are now available.
And what is the single most important action our listeners should consider?
Every executive board in the manufacturing, trading, and technology sectors needs to assign a team to actively map the opportunities and threats emerging from the low-orbit economy. This is no longer a 30-year forecast. It's a 3 to 5 year strategic planning issue.
A new industrial revolution happening 400 kilometers above our heads. That's all the time we have for this week's Troy Technical Intelligence.
Thank you for listening.
We'll be back next week with another strategic briefing for U.S. and European industry. Make sure you subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen so you never miss an update.